A robin is not just for Christmas. No Christmas season would be complete without the familiar image of the robin, often perched on a snowy twig, adorning our greeting cards and decorations. I remember as a child helping my mother decorate the Christmas cake, and one of my favourite decorations was the dumpy little robin perched on a brown log that would complete the wintry scene atop the iced landscape. I can still recall trying to push it into the icing to give it as great a realism as possible, making it look as if the snow had actually heaped up around the log. Of course, like snow, the cake soon vanishes, and by the time the new year arrives, the robin decoration has most likely been stored away again, not to appear until the following Christmas. Not so the real robins, who are with us all year, and, in all likelihood, have no idea about their seasonal fame. Indeed, the robin is usually the very first bird I hear or see on New Year's Day. I am in the habit of venturing out early each New Year's Day for a walk to see how many different bird species I can record. Most years I see about 50 to 60 different species, and invariably the first on the list is the robin, trilling its wistful notes from the shrubbery as I set outside into my garden. But it is not just New Year's Day that I am greeted by the robin, but almost any day of the year. Indeed, as I write this, a robin is singing from the hawthorn outside the window. Whenever I enter the garden, a robin appears, for it seems a robin is inherently inquisitive about human activity. Whereas nearly all the other wild birds flee the moment we appear, the robin does quite the opposite, and actually makes its way towards us. Anyone who has spent any time gardening cannot fail to have noticed that they are not alone for long, and on turning to reach for their fork or spade will find a robin perched on the handle. The robin appears fearless compared to its fellow garden birds, and readily hops in quickly as the soil is turned to snatch up wriggling grubs and worms. I think it is this boldness and trust that has endeared the robin to us. It has taken the initiative and moved into our space, willing to interact and share in our outdoor activities. Some have suggested this confidence around humans is a genetic memory of a time when larger mammals walked our land. Excavations in Trafalgar Square in London in the 19th and 20th centuries revealed the bones of hippopotamuses, straight-tusked elephants, giant aurochs and lions. It is conceivable that much like the oxpecker feeds on the back of rhinos and hippos in Africa, so the robin once used to take advantage of the feeding habits of these long-vanished larger creatures. In our habit of regularly disturbing the earth in our gardening practices, maybe we have simply taken the place of these prehistoric predecessors. However, I prefer to think in more anthropomorphic terms about the robin, and feel there is a mutual benefit to this friendly bird's presence. In its simple willingness to come close, quietly trilling all the while, the robin offers us closer, more intimate connection with nature than afforded by other wild creatures. Francis Hodgson Burnett's portrayal of the robin in The Secret Garden is a classic depiction of an English garden scene where the robin not only appears as a friend, but is integral in opening the door to a world of healing and happiness for the children in the story. I don't think the author is too far off the mark here, for the humble robin, as it hops about our feet or sings in the still of night, continues to invite us to connect with nature wherever we are. So next time a robin seeks you out, pause and wonder at this little bird, for it is synonymous with our English culture. And not without reason was it voted this year, with an overwhelming majority, our national bird. Legend has it that at the Tower of London, six ravens must remain or the kingdom would fall. I can't help feeling that if the robin were to disappear from this land, we would be in even more trouble.